Good evening. Hello, everybody. This is the Fakeologist Show. We do this show Sunday through Thursday. Usually, we've been really busy this last week, so you haven't seen or heard hide nor hair from me. Everyone is busy. Uncle Vigilante's busy. Frank's on vacation. He's going skiing, you know. He's skiing in Geelong, Victoria, Australia. And so we haven't talked. He's not available. Just setting up the FakeoTube stream now, FakeoTube.com. That's my own private video platform service. And I am setting up the chat. Open it up in a new tab. And I will get FakeoTube green on the screen now. It should be a little bit faster. We've had a few people complain about it. And I did tell the author of the software that I was having trouble with it. So hopefully he has made a few adjustments. That's FakeoTube at FakeoTube.com. And yeah, so we've been away for a while. I'm just trying to get the audio. Oh, I see. Let me boost the audio a bit. I don't know if my audio is very loud. I moved everything. The computer's moved. Everything's moved. I've moved. I don't even know if I've set up the audio right, truth be told. Lynn, you can hear me okay?
Yeah.
I got to double check the audio here, make sure it's coming through okay. And audio output. Yeah, you sound like you're a little coffee.
I know what that's from. It's from this blood pressure medication they put me on.
Okay.
Which I probably would like to get off, but.
All right. I don't even know. I can't hear my own voice, but I'm coming through pretty well, I guess.
I can hear you.
Okay. Okay, so that is the world famous Lynn Ertel. Lynn Ertel.
That's right. Who has been accused of being a sophist, of sophistry. I like that. I actually love the idea that somebody in your listenership actually knows who the sophists were, you know, and also a realologist, a straying dangerously into the realm of realology. And I have to confess, I do. I do from time to time stray into the realm of fakeology. So I like those kinds of criticisms because they're substantive.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Someone says, well, you know, that's sophistry. You're being a sophist. I say, yeah, maybe I am. I'm trying to. The sophists are the people who preceded Socrates and who he criticized for having no principles. They were basically fast-talking lawyers, you know, who had mastered the art of rhetoric and could argue any point, you know, any position from any point of view equally well. That was what they prided themselves on.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, that's the background in which Socrates appears and says, well, we should question everything, but we should also be looking for some kind of truth. So it is an important thing. It's part of our heritage.
It is.
Sophistry is part of our heritage. And now, as for realology, what's the first question I asked? You know, were those wildfires real? You know,
well,
we heard about for about a week.
Yeah, it's calmed down in my neck of the woods, so I'm not really talking about it too much. Do we think
that they were engineered in some way?
I don't really have much to say about it. Honestly, I have no idea. That's, I guess, the easiest way to discuss it.
Right. Now, I'll throw something else out there that takes us once again into the realm of realology versus fakeology.
Yeah. Okay.
There is a family now of in the UK, the Campbells, and they have sued the United States government claiming that Jeff Campbell, young man, died in one of the World Trade Center towers because of a controlled demolition. So this is the first time we've actually had people suing the government. Now, these are, remember, these are citizens of the United Kingdom, so that I don't know what standing they have in American courts. But they are essentially accusing the United States government of acquiescence to the murder of a member of their family who was working, they say he was working as an IT specialist in the World Trade Center when they blew it up, and they say these were controlled demolitions, and therefore they want those held responsible, brought to justice. And now, I don't know, the reason why I know about this is because I follow a publication called Off Guardian, which is basically, it's mocking The Guardian, which is a mainstream.
All right, I brought it up on the screen here. All right. This is good, because we do talk about 9/11. Okay. This is relevant to today, because this just happened, allegedly, 6th of July, 2023, 3 days ago.
Yeah, they sure took their time, didn't they? I mean, did they just finally arrive at the fact that those buildings were taken down in a controlled demolition? Is that new? You know, they just figure that out, or have they known it forever? That's what I wonder. And what I found interesting about this was, of course, I read the whole article, and then I went, and here's what I like. Here's what I go to publications like the Off Guardian for, because often I don't read the articles all the way through. If by the second or third paragraph I get the drift of where they're coming from, sometimes I don't really need to read the whole article. So, for example, if I start reading it and they talk about, I don't know, they suspect that maybe the COVID was real. I know that's enough. I don't need to read too much more. I know where they're coming from. They think the virus was real. And so I jump down to the comments, because there's always a whole bunch of comments down at the bottom. And this particular article on this Jeff Campbell, who they claim died in one of the towers, had some very interesting comments like, they probably gave him a new identity and sent him somewhere. Or it's, in other words, there were a number of comments calling into question whether or not this claim was actually real. We're not the only ones who think that way. We have created now a gut level reaction. Look, we fakeologists and auto hoaxers, and I think we're the ones. Well, we bear some responsibility for this, but a lot of people are seeing through it anyway, because people are not that stupid. But we have created an audience out there, a constituency that reflexively is suspicious of everything. And that's what you see in these comments in response to that article. People who are saying, you know, that they're, you know, where has this family been? Why are they showing up now? How do we know this guy even really existed? And of course, no planes. I counted about 3 or 4 comments there that said there were no planes. And of course, the family is not claiming that planes hit the towers, right? They're claiming that the towers were taken down by controlled demolition. Now, why is this important to us? How do we relate to this? Because our thrust has always been the TV fakery, the central, as September Clues points out, the central role of the news media in 9/11. That 9/11 was a movie made for TV news, and then what really happened was what we saw on television and what they told us. That's the narrative. We don't know what really happened, right? But we do know that in all probability, that complex was taken down by controlled demolitions. We could see the evidence of that. And it's kind of common sense. So what's happening now is we're seeing that as these late arrivals to the party show up, people are there with the questions, and right away, why should we trust you? So, but I pose the question: do we want to automatically, reflexively, dismiss this family from the UK?
Yes.
On the grounds that we think nobody died in the towers, when they're saying, oh, yes, one of ours died, and he died in a controlled demolition.
Okay, I want to bring you to Clues Forum, cluesforum.info. If anyone is new to investigating 9/11, I've been talking about Clues Forum since when I first started. Because when I looked at Clues Forum, I realized this is the absolute number one place for 9/11 truth. And be honest with you, I've never really looked into the Campbells. And if you go to Clues Forum, you will see underneath the victims, the simulated victims, victims of 9/11, you will see there's quite a bit on Matt Campbell. These guys have been doing this for a long time.
Right. Should I tell you why that's the case?
Go ahead.
Because there's a story behind it. Quite a few years back, it's been over 10 years.
Yeah.
I corresponded with someone claiming to be, I believe, the brother.
Matt Campbell, right, exactly.
I corresponded with, I might have even talked to him over the phone. He was getting involved in 9/11 Truth, and clearly he knew those were controlled demolitions. And I said, you know, there is a website out there, September Clues, that has shown that what we were shown on TV news was fake. And then in all probability, there were no planes that hit the towers. And he didn't really have strong views on that. But he was very interested in who these people were who were claiming that this was a fake, that this was a false claim, that his brother had died in the towers. And so I hooked him up with Simon Shack at September Clues, and I believe he started corresponding with him. And I don't know. I think at one point he might have threatened to sue them.
Yes,
in a UK
there's something
court.
Going on there. Yes, 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 yes.
Do you have any more? Does September Clues, the Clues Forum, have any more details on that? Did anything ever come of that?
Well,
because he was hot. You know, Matt, this Campbell guy. Now, the one I talked to was named Matthew. Is that right? Matt.
Yeah, it's Matt Campbell.
And you know, he was. You know, I it's difficult for me to read people. I couldn't tell. He sounded very sincere to me. He really did. And he knew those were controlled demolitions. But he really resented the fact that out of hand, September Clues was dismissing the disappearance of his brother as just another fake, another fake victim. So, you know, I'd like to see how far this goes. I really would.
I'm reading because from April 10th, 2014.
Okay, there we go.
And let me, I'm trying to go back here. Let's see how far back I can go. Because this is one of the biggest threads on Clues Forum.
So he actually came out to Clues Forum to challenge people. Is that right?
I believe so. I'm just reading through here now. Here we go here. I think Justice for Jeff Campbell. And they're just showing a bunch of really bad photoshops of Jeff and a woman here.
In other words, you can tell that they're photoshopped because I can't.
Right. Well, Simon.
You can tell they're photoshopped.
This is from 2001. So things are not like they are today. Things were pretty piss poor back then.
Right, but I'm saying evidence pertaining specifically
to
this Jeff Campbell. You're telling me that someone has created fake evidence.
Yes.
Phony fake evidence that this guy was in the towers.
Well, they're just creating
phony
fake evidence that the guy existed at all. That's what it looks
like
here.
Right. That that he existed at all.
Yes, absolutely.
Like I say, they could also have said, hey, we're going to give you a new identity and we're going to send you here. They can do that too, you know.
Yeah, I know they can, but I think we have to ask ourselves what was more likely.
Right. So you're saying that this Jeff Campbell, he was never a member of this tearful, grieving family from the UK that's going out of their way to raise this issue. They're liars and fraudsters, and they're looking
for
money.
That is my default position for all the victims, and I think that's what I learned. That's what I learned the most about September Clues and Clues Forum. That's the thing that I've never even heard of before. The simulated victims, and now they do it all day long, every day, all the time.
Oh yeah,
for everything.
Yeah.
And why would you make a person? So this guy is as active as Bobby McElvain. Remember that one?
Oh yeah, yeah, right, right. I should have included him with. Except the reason why I don't take Bobby McElvain seriously is because he is kind of transparently fake. I mean, every time you see him get up there, he's there with the tears, and he just looks phony and sounds phony.
Okay, let me read this. This is how Mrs. Burbank remembers her husband Jeff Campbell on the New York Times 9/11 obituary. Quote, Mr. Campbell, who worked for Reuters Consulting Group, was just a gentle, kind soul, said Ms. Burbank, who shared an apartment with him and two cats in Chelsea. If someone new came to the office, he was always the one to invite them out for a drink. And that's the obituary.
That sounds so damn fake.
Now,
Hold it. You mean she lived with him? She's saying she lived with him, shared an apartment with him?
That's right. Let me read the archives here.
She wouldn't be, right. If you shared an apartment with somebody, you wouldn't be calling them Mr. Campbell. You would be calling them Jeff.
Right. No, they were married. Says here they were married,
but and, she still kept. Oh, really?
Here's Simon's response. I will tell you one thing: if I died and went up to paradise, and later heard that my wife remembers me only for being quote the one who always invited new office workers for a drink close quote, well, I'd down a few pints and pee on her profusely from the heavens. I received this vibrant letter in my personal email inbox today. It's from one Ian Henshaw, 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
A British 9/11 truther, as far as I know. Apparently, right. Matt Campbell, brother of British 9/11 victim Jeff Campbell, is getting sour at the authorities and now wants the truth. And here's the whole press release. 9/11 UK victim family member challenges official narrative.
Right. So here would be my – so here's my first question. Is Matt Campbell ready to denounce that obviously fake, phony? Is it, you said that was a New York Times memorial?
Yep, that's where the obituary was.
Right, he should be denouncing that. He should be saying, I don't know who this woman, I don't know who this person is. Or, in other words, he should be clarifying just what that memorial says. Does he even reply to it? Does he even respond to it?
I don't know.
I've
got to read this thread. I put a link to this thread, show note number one. And
here's why I think it's worth people's time to look at that thread, because you're going to see these grifters show up who are going to be jumping on our bandwagon. In other words, because we've cleared the path, they're going to want cash, and so they're going to jump on our bandwagon and they're going to pick up a piece of what we say. Well, they were controlled demolitions, but somebody really died, and he was my relative or my husband or my wife, and I want compensation. That's what we're going to see. And because, let's face it, if Jeff Campbell was the only one whose family is suing because he died in a controlled demolition that they falsely claim was caused by planes crashing into skyscrapers, where are the rest? Where are the rest? Why aren't there 100, 200, 300, 1,000 families suing for the victims who died in these controlled demolitions?
Yes.
Are we expected to believe that only one died? Or that only one has a family that wouldn't be outraged that he died in a controlled demolition? You see, it opens up this whole can of worms here. But I was not familiar with that that thread in September Clues. I hadn't in Clues form on. I didn't realize there was a complete thread dedicated to this.
This is an endless story, and it's. I guess now that we're getting closer to September, this is when they ramp up some of the 9/11 stories to reignite that, because this is a psyop for the ages. This one will never go away.
See, I'm not willing to live with that.
No,
I say yes, and I'll tell you why. Because every time, because when I walk around with a shirt that says 9/11 was an inside job, or a picture of Bin Laden on it, people are always stopping me and saying, "Yeah, that thing was phony as a." The young people know. I can't speak for the boomers because a lot of the boomers are senile. But I'm telling you, when I run into young people, they say, oh yeah, those were controlled demolitions. Now that doesn't mean they're no planers.
Right.
What I proceed to do is say, well, you realize that the clips that were broadcast over TV news were like crappy, like not even movie quality shots of a plane allegedly entering the tower or cartoons or digital cartoons. And people usually don't have a hard time with that at all. And when I show them, I'll show them the Hezarkani ghost plane or the one I like the best is the Evan Fairbanks, CNN Evan Fairbanks one, where it just melts into the tower seamlessly with no impact.
You know?
And they intuitively see how fake that is. They see that it's phony.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you say it's a psyop for the ages.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't see it lasting. I see people coming around and seeing through it.
No, I don't. Don't forget, we're in year 21.
Oh, I didn't say they're going to be able to
22.
Do anything about it. I didn't say that they're going to do anything about it. That's another issue. Whether it matters, here's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
To millennials, or even Gen Xers who don't have, well, how old would Gen Xers be? I guess, to millennials and Gen Zers who have no memory of it, it's an abstraction. It's like talking about the Kennedy assassination to somebody who maybe, you know, was only 5 years old at the time.
No, I'm a Gen Xer. We're in our 50s.
Okay. But I guess what I'm saying is as the thing recedes into memory, it has less and less emotional impact for people unless they remember what it was like, you know, that those first few weeks afterwards, and especially the anthrax panic, when the so-called anthrax attacks, which everybody wants to forget. They really want to bury the whole anthrax business because that really did terrify people. People were wearing surgical gloves to open their mail.
Yes, I remember that. That was short-lived, wasn't it, right after?
It was. Only for a few weeks, but it was pretty scary. And then they framed this guy, Bruce Ivins, who was a technician up there at Fort Detrick, and claimed he committed suicide before they could arrest him, so the case was closed. And I don't think anybody believed that. That's the FBI. That's really one that ought to be reopened. Even more than the demolitions themselves or the Pentagon hit. I pointed out that nobody would have marched off to war just because somebody knocked down Larry Silverstein's real estate. We marched off to war because of the hit on the Pentagon. And that was high treason. Whoever staged the bombing at the Pentagon and that psyop, that's about the purest high treason. That's what you hang people for, doing stuff like
Lynn,
that.
Lynn, listen to this. This is Matt, whatever his name is.
Like the BBC said, help brand many truthers as crazy people. As we fair, some theories are crazy. My favourite one is that my brother and his photo and images of him was a software construct. Not true.
Did you hear that?
yeah. What did he say? A construct?
A software construct, not true.
A software construct, not true. He doesn't sound very emotional about it, does he? I mean, if that were my brother and someone were saying he didn't exist, I'd be producing proof.
And here we go here.
Here's
Simon. Well, so it is not true that the above images are software constructs. Nothing to see here, folks. Move on. We can always feel good about the fact that we at Clues Forum sustain Matt's favorite conspiracy theory. It says, watch and enjoy Matt's priceless Bob McElvain moment at about 6:50 into this video. As he mentions, memorial service. Bob beats Matt anytime. USA versus UK actors 1-0. At least Bob actually pretends to shed a tear or two as his voice breaks up. So let's go to 6:50 here, as Simon suggests, and listen in here.
Attended the memorial service in Grosvenor Square Gardens near the U.S. Embassy.
So he's kind of wiggling and jiggling as he as he talks there. It's funny. Anyway, That is.
All right, so we got another phony. We got another. We got a bunch of greedy, selfish bastards.
Well, they're actors. They're paid
actors. That's not good enough. I don't care who they are. They may actually be relatives. They may actually be a family, a society that's cashing in on this. But it's sickening. It's disgusting. Because they know, they won't even admit that most. It's so crazy.
This is from 9 years ago. Reinvestigate 9/11. Only 1,000 people cared to watch this video in 9 years. Amazing.
Right. Right. So we probably shouldn't even be wasting a whole lot. This is just another group of grifters.
No, it's interesting because it is interesting here. And I'll put a link to the obituary as well, Lynn. So when you go over the show later on, you can take a look at this. This is all from cluesforum.info.
He didn't even know about Clues Forum and September Clues. I mean, I basically got a hold of Matt Campbell and I said, hey, they're saying that this is that your brother never existed.
Oh, and so you
got pretty good evidence.
Oh, you
oh,
got.
Yeah, I got him to go over there. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I challenged him. I said they've got extensive. And I talked all about the VixSim project. And I said they found that already. They found scores of. It's looking like all of the pictures and the notations and the we remember so and so. Are super phony. They sound phony. The pictures are obviously fake. I said, so are you telling me you're the only one, your brother was the only one who was real?
Oh, and, wow, that's funny.
Yeah, I mean, I just laid it all on this Matt Campbell. And I said, well, I suggest you take it up with Simon Shack and the people over at September Clues because they're convinced that your brother is a fiction, is a software construct. I think I might have used that phrase exactly.
Oh, wow, that's funny.
Yeah, yeah, he may have picked that up from me. I had no idea he would actually go over there and try and engage them.
Well, it is kind of odd.
Right, exactly. It's like someone probably instructed him to do that. I don't think he would have done that on his own.
And apparently the one of the versions of Clues Forum got shut down because of him. And
right. Right, exactly. He managed to have them shut down, but then they were restored, right?
And here it says here, Lux, who was an active participant at Clues Forum back in the day, said to Simon, may we now post here about Mr. Campbell using his first, last, and last name in photos? And Simon says, dear Lux, please know that our Matt Campbell has been sending me various emails these past few days, regretting that his actions caused Clues Forum to be shut down, saying he now believes no planes hit the towers, thus supporting right. the September Clues research, and even musing that, for what he knows, his brother Jeff may not have perished in the tower collapses at all.
That's right!
Matt also acknowledges that the human tissue that was sent to him from New York may not have been that of his brother Jeff. What an interesting case! Isn't that interesting?
You know, it really makes you wonder if these people actually had relatives that worked at the World Trade Center.
The answer, of course, is no.
Well, no. They may have at one time. I mean, yeah, well, maybe. You're telling me these are just actors, period.
Yes.
And the name Campbell may not even be real.
Yeah, I would go that far. This is nothing we would have thought about back in the day because most of us had no idea that this is the kind of. But now I think it's routine. Do we not agree that crisis actors are the main modus operandi of PSYOPs today?
Sure, but when they show up so late in a situation like this, you know how fucking evil they are. You understand what I'm saying? When they show up this late in the game, who knows, they might have just been hired last week.
They're lifetime actors. I think there's a couple of lifetime actors.
Yeah,
that's their job. I still think, I still believe there's one or two million people that work for the CIA and their various defense contractors that are all part of creating simulated events and moving. That is their job. I'm convinced of it.
And my contention is that's what makes a nation of prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nation of whores.
Yeah.
Because if if the condition of your employment is that you participate in PSYOPs,
you're
the worst kind of traitor. You're the worst kind of traitor. I wouldn't settle for anything less than a bloody civil war to get rid of those people. I don't want to, and I'm saying this now openly. I can be quoted on it. I wouldn't settle for anything less than a bloody civil war to resolve this. Because I would refuse to live in the same society with people like that. And I use the Ninth Commandment as my justification. Thou shalt not bear false witness.
Yes.
That's perjury, and it's blood libel. Well, it was in particular.
That's the Ninth Commandment. Thou
shalt not bear false witness, which is really committing perjury.
Can you imagine if everyone knew the commandments today? But would society be such a mess?
Well, you're supposed to learn them, and you learn them in grade school. When I was in school,
thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, which I guess is everybody.
You're right, and here's where the Jews kind of play games with that. They say, oh, well, your neighbor is only another Jew. If it's a goy, if it's a non-Jew,
I think that's the Talmud.
That's the Talmud.
And just what is the, and I often thought of this, this is not the what most Jews practice. Just like most Muslims don't practice the extreme version of the Quran.
They practice a main, and same thing with Christians. I mean, they practice
The ancient understanding of this is you shall not spread a false report. You shall not join hands with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. You shall not fall in with the many to do evil, or shall you bear witness in a lawsuit, siding with the many so as to pervert justice, nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his lawsuit. Exodus 23, verses 1 to 3.
And
that is fantastic, Glenn. I like that.
What else is a false flag operation but the worst violation of the Ninth Commandment you could think of? Well, police planting evidence and framing somebody, framing an innocent person.
That is the worst.
It's horrible. It's the worst. And I think the ancient Israelites would have stoned you to death for that. I really do. I think they'd have strung you up or stoned you for that.
So do you think if people actually knew the Ten Commandments and recited them, that there'd be less participation in these disgusting psyops?
No, because it's not enough. It's not enough just to. That's like the Pledge of Allegiance. It's not enough just to recite it. That's just meaningless. You know.
They need to know it.
We had prayer in the schools. They didn't end prayer in the schools till I was in the seventh grade. And I don't think it made anybody more moral or ethical. I really don't. Making somebody say a prayer is not going to make them into a good person, and nor is it going to teach them about the ethics underlying the prayer. So, yeah, you should study. I studied the Ten Commandments as part of the history of our civilization, not because I believed in God. I mean, you know, this is how societies are organized. This is how one ancient society organized itself. We carry this legacy through the Bible, which is sort of a cornerstone, foundational document of Western civilization, full of all kinds of contradictions, actually, and incongruities, and even some rather evil things, especially the Old Testament. But I acknowledge that, just like I acknowledge the dialogues of Plato or Aristotle. You understand, it's part of our classical tradition. So that's how I study it. But you're saying, well, if only we taught the Ten Commandments to people, they wouldn't lie the way they do. You wouldn't have people like the Campbells running around, who are British, I guess, right? Running around making this up, trying to make money off of it. And I say, no, the mere formal repetition of a prayer or the formal repetition of the Ten Commandments, that doesn't mean anything. People will say anything. No, there have to be real ways to teach, to distinguish between right and wrong, and to teach people, I don't know, enough empathy to know not to do wrong against someone else, not to lie on somebody else or incriminate them falsely. I just don't think repeating Ten Commandments would do that. But at the very minimum, if you ask someone what are the Ten Commandments and how did they come about, they should be able to tell you the narrative. Moses came down from the mountain. You know, people should know the Exodus narrative, the flight from, you know, the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt, according to the story. And people should be familiar with that. Christians, especially, anybody who calls themselves a Christian, they better know the Ten Commandments. If they don't know the Ten Commandments, then their Christianity is bogus. As you know, there are 613 mitzvot, or commandments, in the Pentateuch, which is the five books of Moses, or the Torah, as it's called. 613. And you have the Ten Commandments, which are the most important. And then also, early on in the book of Genesis, there's something called the Noahide Laws.
All right.
And these are seven commandments that super Orthodox Jews will insist are really, the whole world should be ruled by these seven commandments, not just Jews. And one of the seven commandments prohibits the worship of idols. It says it even prescribes a death penalty for worshiping an idol. In other words, the seven Noahide commandments aren't exactly easy either. They're pretty strict.
Right.
I think they leave out the Sabbath, and they leave out a couple other things that are in the Ten Commandments. But Chabad Lubavitch, which is a very wealthy, powerful worldwide organization, worldwide Chabad, in their minds, they're going to establish a global government ruled from Jerusalem by the Bet Din, which will be the Jewish court. And the whole world will submit to the seven Noahide laws. So, yeah, all that should be studied in school. But are you telling me that it's necessary to explain to a child why they shouldn't bear false witness? How difficult is that to explain to a child?
Why don't we, I was thinking, you know, we should regularly discuss 9/11. On a weekly basis, because that is the whole reason this blog started, fakeologist.com/blog. Let me take a look. I just go into Google News and I'm going to search for 9/11. Here we go. Dad who survived 9/11 dies after jumping into Lake Michigan to help child who fell off raft. So this is 2 days ago. We need to look this one up.
July, but a day of boating turned tragic in the northern suburbs when a man jumped in the water to save a child who was struggling. CBS 2's Jermont Terry is live with the story tonight. Jermont.
Erica, this July 4th heat sent so many people to the beaches to stay cool, but the same place that some went to enjoy proved to be dangerous and even deadly this holiday.
And with NECA, a day on this boat turned tragic.
Everybody's sort of gathering on the beach, and somebody called 911 because the kids were yelling that something was down.
Amy McCarter tells us some children were originally getting pulled on a tube by the boat at Centennial Beach when all of a sudden the children flipped.
One of the children, I think, it looked as if was having some trouble, and the other kids were saying, he's having trouble swimming.
Despite the kids wearing life jackets, investigators say Luke Lately tried saving the children.
The gentleman who was running the boat jumped in the water.
Yet the waters of Lake Michigan proved to be too much for Lately. When he was pulled from the waters, friends started CPR before being rushed to Evanston Hospital, where he died.
Oftentimes, would-be rescuers also become a drowning victim as well because they make a knee-jerk reaction to get in the water to try to make the rescue.
Dave Benjamin with Great Lakes Surf Rescue, a nonprofit, is dedicated to reducing drownings, and he warns the lake can catch even a seasoned swimmer off guard.
That the lifeguards are the first responders in the water, that if there's a water emergency, you have seconds to minutes for a successful rescue.
Such was the case across the lake in Michigan City. These images show lifeguards linking.
I'm still waiting to hear about the guy who did the saving.
A girl went missing in Indiana on the 4th.
It looks like the lifeguards assembled very quickly. It's always best to check the water first. They went out and did a very thorough line search with all the lifeguards tethered together.
So I was thinking that this was a 9/11 victim, but actually this is a guy that allegedly was in the tower on his second day of work on the 61st floor. So I can't.
And got evacuated, right?
Yeah, exactly. I can't look that one up. I don't know. I was getting mixed up there. So sorry about that. So there you go. There's your 9/11 tie in there.
Well, it was interesting looking in the comments on the article about the Campbells in the Off Guardian, reading through the comments.
Oh, right. I should look at that myself.
Oh, yeah. There was a great comment in there to the effect. Well, there was a lot of no plane stuff in there. And someone was even critical of the article because it may have, I don't know if the article actually said the planes crashed into the towers, But someone was critical of the article for failing to say, hey, there were no planes. There were no planes. A lot of people are on to this. No planes is becoming trendy. It really is. It's becoming the hip. You know, you show how sophisticated you are. If you run into somebody, oh, you're a 9/11 truther. Oh, you're in the, oh, yeah, I've looked at 9/11. Oh, you know there were no planes.
Oh, right. Well, that.
But aren't they all the time?
The Campbells are part of the reinvestigate 9/11. I think Richard Gage, where they believe it says here. Yeah, it says here they were destroyed not by the impact of the airplane, but by pre-planted explosive and incendiaries.
Right.
I still think they believe in a plane. They just don't believe.
Oh yeah.
I think the official group believes in a plane, but they still think the towers were brought down by controlled demolition. Is Richard Gage a no-planer?
No, Richard Gage is an opportunist. He really is. I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him. And
no,
I watched
neither.
An interview. There is a current interview out there with David Chandler.
Okay.
Kim Iverson. I don't know if you're familiar with her.
No.
I don't like her at all, but she has a podcast.
Okay.
And she interviews this guy, Chandler. Chandler is one of the big shots in A&E for 9/11, you know, architects and engineers. And she does like probably an hour-long interview with him where, you know, he basically proves those were all controlled demolitions. But they never mention planes once. So, you know, it's almost like they're cowards. See, the A&E for 9/11 truth. And by the way, reinvestigate 9/11. I think that's a British group, isn't it?
Yes, I think so.
That's the one run by Ian Henshaw.
Right. Okay.
He's just an old leftist. He's just another one of these tired, burnt out old leftists. I think I had some pretty testy email exchanges with him about the TV fakery, where I said your failure to point out the role of the media, you know, really undermines the truth. And I let him have it. And I don't know if he ever replied to me. I think he might have replied, but that's and the thing that always bothers me about these British 9/11 truthers is they shouldn't be wasting their time on 9/11. They should be looking at the London 7/7 bombing.
All right, we just went by the 7/7 anniversary, didn't we?
Yeah, those were a huge, big deal. They claimed all these people were killed, and they had the Muslim terrorists, and they had. Remember all the video? I mean, that was a big deal.
Here, let me read one comment here from Proletarius64. Failings are designed into the PSYOP so that they can be debated endlessly, giving the pretense of genuine inquiry. That is correct. That is correct.
Failings meaning what?
Just the failings, the, I guess, rabbit trails. I guess maybe he's referring to a comment above. So the failings, failings of the investigation,
it was all a mistake. We were all mistaken.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to say about COVID. That amnesty for COVID. Well, we overestimated it, or we kept the lockdowns going too long, but we meant well. And they're always going to be, you know, this goes all the way back to the Vietnam War, really. When it was finally winding down, everybody was against it, and the country was, you know, torn apart. The New York Times comes out and says, oh, yeah, well, it was all a big mistake. The war in Vietnam was a 10-year mistake. We meant well. We had good intentions. And it was really infuriating at the time. This had been about 1969, 1970, 1971 to see this, because all of us knew it wasn't no mistake. There was no mistake. This was deliberate. There was a lot of money made, a lot of money laundered. So, you know, and this is what you're right. A failure. That's what they'll say. You see, it goes back to this thing on 9/11 with NORAD.
Right.
I mean, I've told you my story that the day it happened, I jumped up and said, that's impossible. It's impossible. You couldn't. A big fat Boeing commercial jet goes what, 400 miles per hour maybe, and it leaves Washington D.C. You're going to wait and hijack it somewhere near the Ohio-Kentucky border. That was the map that the map that they put out of Flight 77's voyage how it was, they showed it being hijacked right there near the Ohio-Kentucky border, then turned around and flown all the way across Ohio and West Virginia and Virginia and Maryland to score a direct hit on the west wall of the Pentagon. And somehow NORAD just never got to the scene to stop it. There was no way I was going to buy that. There was no way I was going to believe that. So initially I said, well, if what they're saying is true, it means we either had an unthinkable failure or a deliberate stand down by NORAD. But nobody cared. I really thought the whole country would be up in arms about the Pentagon. I thought people would say, that's not supposed to happen. We pay big bucks for this billion-dollar defensive grid around Washington, D.C. The Pentagon is the most heavily fortified fortress on planet Earth. And you're telling me, not a cruise missile, not a Soviet MiG, you know, but a Boeing commercial jet. And first of all, why would you hijack here? It flew out of Reagan National Airport. So you're telling me they're hijacking a plane that's leaving Washington, D.C. They're hijacking it near in Ohio, and then they're going to turn it all the way around and fly it back. What hijacker would be stupid enough to do that? And they're flying over dams, over nuclear power plants, over shopping malls, just so they can hit the West Wing, the West Wall of the Pentagon, because otherwise we don't have an excuse to go off to war. It was so stupid at the time. You know, when I think about how I felt in those first first few months after 9/11, how isolated and furious I was at the stupidity of everyone around me. Because I would say, haven't you ever heard of NORAD? Do you know what NORAD is? It's like I'd be screaming. Do you know what NORAD is? NORAD, what's that? Oh, yeah, don't they track Santa Claus every Christmas?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so I denounce and I condemn the American people for not even questioning the Pentagon account and for not even demanding accountability from their leaders. Because in the immediate aftermath of Pearl Harbor, Admiral Kimmel and Major General Short out there in Hawaii, they took the rap. They were court-martialed. It was considered somebody had to be held accountable for such an unthinkable failure. Of course, everybody is convinced now that Pearl Harbor was was anticipated in advance anyway. Maybe not a false flag, but certainly, you know, they let it happen on a lie hop. Maybe they let it happen on purpose. You know, that was the initial explanation for 9/11, was they let it happen on purpose. That was the only way you could explain it. They had to let this happen on purpose, because otherwise NORAD would have shot these planes down. And I really expected Americans to say, hey, we want an explanation for how this could have happened. We're paying a lot of money for this air defensive grid that we've got. What happened? And we want to know the generals and the officers who were involved. And I watched them all. Ralph Everhart, who was, I think, the commanding general of the United States. Myers, he was the acting chief of the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the time. He hadn't been confirmed. He was replacing Hugh Shelton. I followed all that. And I realized these people were traitors.
Hey, Lynn, should we go over to your movie email? Do you want to go into that?
Yeah. The point I want to make about that is this. Because, you know, Tim Osmond of IPS is fond of pointing out that you can often, if you look at the entertainment venue, that's where you can see where their agenda is, especially movies. So here are the four big movies in the last week or two that were supposed to make money.
Wait, have they all come out yet?
Yeah, they're out. They're out at the theaters.
They're all out now? Oh, they came out July 4th, you figure?
Well, they might have come out a day or two. I think it's within the last
week. I thought Oppenheimer wasn't out till the third week of July.
I think Oppenheimer is out. That article I read, it said it's...
No, Oppenheimer and Barbie are going head-to-head July 21, says here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but they're not out already? Okay, they're not going to be...
No, ready. Mission Impossible number, 10 is out with Tom Cruise?
Yeah. But they were saying that... that... nothing was competing with this low-budget film called Sound of Freedom, which was
what's that about?
Directed, well, it was produced or directed by Jim. I can't pronounce his name.
I think who was talking about that?
Well, you probably heard No Agenda talking about it.
Let's play the trailer.
How many pedophiles you got?
288.
How many kids you found?
It is the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen. It has already passed the illegal arms trade, and soon it's going to pass the drug trade. Because you can sell a bag of cocaine one time with a child, 5 to 10 times a day. God's children are not for sale. How long have you been doing this?
12 years now.
How many pedophiles you got?
288.
How many kids you found?
Por rescatar niños, ¿verdad? ¿Puedes ayudarme a encontrar mi hermana?
Te lo prometo.
We're Homeland Security. You know we can't go off rescuing Honduran kids in Colombia.
Which means she'll disappear for good. Imagine walking into her room right now, seeing an empty bed. What we do?
You quit your job, and you go and rescue those kids.
So at this moment, she could be a block down the road, or she could be in Moscow, Bangkok, L.A. She's a major operator.
It's all rebel territory. No one goes in. Not the army, not the police, not us.
What if this was your daughter?
There's no Marine unit coming.
You're on your own.
This job tears you to pieces. And this is my one chance to put those pieces back together.
When God tells you what to do, you cannot hesitate.
Okay, okay. I don't know if that's something I want to see. But
yeah, Jim Caviezel.
Jim Caviezel, never heard of him.
He was he had the title role in Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ.
Oh, okay.
Remember that? The Passion. Which another one which is really, I wouldn't recommend sitting through that if you got a weak stomach. I mean, Mel Gibson, you know, he's obviously trying to show you what a real Roman crucifixion would look like. You
right,
know?
Yeah.
He's like that kind of graphic realism. But he may be behind this effort as well because Jim Caviezel played Jesus in Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ.
Okay.
So he may be providing, I don't know, he may also be supporting this effort. But what I'm getting at with this movie is it looks like it's a box office smash hit. And it's getting standing ovations from crowds and everything else. And what is the subject? The subject is the international child sex trafficking industry. I don't know if they mention adrenochrome in this film or not.
Okay.
But I heard an interview with Caviezel where he mentions adrenochrome.
Yeah, you're right. No Agenda brought it up. Okay. Do you listen to No Agenda?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Hey, that's something else we could talk about on the regular.
They hasten to point out that this film about child sex that is being denounced. I mean, you can imagine what the establishment media is saying about this. First of all, they're immediately saying it's a QAnon thing.
Okay, so they're saying it's not real.
Yeah, well, QAnon is never even mentioned in the movie.
No,
I mean, I don't. You understand? I don't think it necessarily has anything to do with QAnon.
Sound but of freedom.
But the media, of course, wants to know. These are QAnon conspiracy theorists again. Don't pay any attention to them. I don't know. You have to kind of look at the...
Is it because it's faith-based? Variety calls it faith-based. Is that a way... Is that a pejorative? Faith-based?
Always. To Hollywood? Always.
Right.
Always. And that last quote at the bottom from... I guess it was from the London Guardian.
Oh, the Guardian, Sound of Freedom, the QAnon-adjacent thriller seducing America.
Right.
Can you see the screen?
Well, no, not at the moment, but I sent that comment to you because I thought it was interesting.
Oh, okay. I was just reading Google News and you just coincidentally said that.
Yeah, that's the quote that I sent you.
Oh, wow.
They go into, they're really hysterical about it. I mean, why make such a big deal out of it? It's almost like they're validating the worst claims that this documentary, it is billed as a documentary. They're validating the worst claims that are being made about child. I mean, by denying it, they're validating it because people say, come on, what are you talking about? We know this is a real problem. So I want to wait and see because, the other one that was failing at the box office against this Sound of Freedom, which, like I say, is a, it's a low budget.
Insidious, The Red Door?
Indiana Jones and The Dial of Destiny.
It says Insidious, The Red Door defeats Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones was supposed to be the heavy hitter, right? Wouldn't you think that would be the box office smash? But apparently it's not doing too well.
Sound of Freedom is a superhero movie for dads with brain worms? What does that mean?
Isn't that insulting?
What does that mean?
Read the rest. Well, who knows? Maybe an AI wrote it.
Based on a true story I heard from somewhere across the theater. Well, I never take that at face value whatsoever.
You could see what a contemptuous, condescending attitude.
Oh, here it says, for the seasoned moviegoer, this phrase is a joke. We know that cinema will stretch almost any truth to the breaking point, and the rank and sincerity of such a pronouncement is the foundation of the prankish opening titles of Fargo. Okay. But this crowd, I could tell, would view the events depicted over the next 2+ hours as entirely literal.
Absolutely.
Okay. So there you go. I
doing?
See.
Are they condemning? They're condemning the audience.
Oh, right. He has become a prominent. Cavazel has become a prominent figure on the conspiracist right, giving speeches and interviews in which he hints at the underground holy war between patriots and the sinister legion of evildoers who are harvesting the blood of children. It's straight up QAnon stuff. Okay.
Well, you know, Cavazel is pretty well established in Hollywood, isn't it? I mean, he's made a lot of, mainstream movies that were successful. So I don't know why they're trying to say, he's just one of those marginalized nutcases.
What's your take on the Wayfair trafficking hoax, it says here? I sort of remember that.
Yeah, Amazing Polly, I think, was the one who discovered that.
Wow.
To say she discovered these ads for a cheap bookcase for $10,000 or, the ridiculous prices for some of these pieces of furniture. She was one that first discovered that pattern and put the material out there. And then immediately it got a really big reaction. So no, I wouldn't doubt for an instant that they would be using encrypted messaging in a furniture catalog to traffic in children. I wouldn't doubt it for an instant. I posted this on my Facebook timeline because it affected me so much. I watched a witness testify before a Senate committee, a whistleblower. This woman was a bureaucrat in probably immigration, wherever they handle, illegal immigrants, that whole thing. She came from that area, and she was blowing the whistle on this and insisting, if you watch her testimony, she says that basically the United States government is in the human trafficking business. It is supporting the trafficking of children at the border. That's what she says. I mean, she comes right out and says it. It's pretty shocking. And then she enumerates various cases that she's observed where she's seen this. It's not just a matter of negligence. It's not just a matter of turning a blind eye. It's not just a matter of ignoring it or pretending it doesn't exist. She is saying they are enabling it and collaborating with it, and some of them are profiting from it. And in particular, she identified Child Protective Services in various states as involved in this trafficking. And she says what they do is that when these kids come over without any parents, They just siphon them right into one of these operations where they become slaves, and in some cases, sex slaves. She just lays it all out in her testimony. I don't know what else you can do. If a government official comes forward and says, hey, here's my evidence, officials of your government are not only allowing this to happen, but they're enabling it and facilitating it, and they're profiting from it as well, and they've built a whole structure to do it, I don't know what you can say to that. I don't know what the response – to me, that's a government that should fall. That's a criminal government. On the other hand, blowing up an underseas oil pipeline is a crime, isn't it?
All right.
If, as we are told, somebody blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, and according to Seymour Hersh, it was the U.S. Navy, and nobody does – it's not investigated. There's no responsibility assigned. There's no prosecution. There are no consequences, then that is telling people you're ruled by criminals and they can do what they want and they can get away with whatever they want. I mean, you can't get much more criminal in terms of international law than blowing up an underseas pipeline and then laughing about it the way Biden did. You can see he grin when they asked him, well, do you know anything about this? And he grinned and said, well, he predicted that they would shut it down.
I don't even think there was a pipeline blown up, honestly.
The Russians are not denying it.
Yeah, I just don't think it's grounded at all in any kind of reality. I'll put a link to this movie review.
But that's not so important. Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say. Well, that's just a narrative they're feeding us. It could be completely unreal.
Yes, I think it is.
But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it's real or not, because the narrative is a narrative of a crime. And
I see what you mean, yeah.
It's a crime. So whether, you know, you've got to investigate it for one thing. You've got to have an investigation. And if you insist that this narrative is true, and that nobody's going to be punished for it or held accountable, then you're instructing the public that there is no rule of law, that no rule of law has any authority because we could do whatever we want. The cluster bombs, the big news today is the cluster bombs which are pretty much, you know, most nations in the world have signed off on agreements, promises that they would never use weapons like these. These cluster bombs are the things where, you know, they're like little landmines. Kids step on them and blow their legs off and stuff like that. And therefore, they're prohibited by most international agreements. But apparently, the United States never signed this agreement not to use these cluster bombs. And that's what they're sending to Ukraine. They're sending all kinds of weapons to Ukraine. Think about the incongruity, the idea that they're sending the most sophisticated ordnance.
I wonder if any of them actually get there, or they just do a round trip, honestly.
You think that's fake, too, but look what they're saying. They're saying, we're going to ship all this dangerous, really destructive weaponry to these corrupt psychos in the Ukraine, but we're going to prohibit your right to own an AR-15 or even a sidearm. We're going to pass red flag laws to keep you – you know, they're going to take away the right of Americans to bear arms and defend ourselves and instead ship all those sophisticated arms to a country most Americans couldn't identify on a map. It's so outrageous. It's so outrageous. These weapons are too dangerous for you to possess, but we're going to ship weapons that are even more dangerous – to a foreign country and a corrupt government to start a war with Russia. I don't know. This stuff, every time I try to wrap my head around it, I think I'm going crazy. But I know I'm not. It's just that the American people are a bunch of filthy, degenerate cowards and prostitutes who don't care. They don't care. Like, you could say that the business about the millions of dollars in bribes from the Chinese communists paid to Hunter Biden, and from the Ukrainian oil company Burisma paid to Hunter Biden and oligarchs. You could say that's a fake story too.
Oh yeah.
But the fact that they're feeding us this, you know, there's plenty of people willing to testify that this money was forked over to him. You know, there are plenty of Ukrainians willing to testify to it. Now we got an Israeli, apparently. I don't know what his involvement is, but he actually witnessed, apparently, Hunter Biden threatening a member of the Chinese Communist Party if the guy didn't toe the line, he'd sick a dad on him, Joe Biden on him. So I guess what I'm saying is, whether the narrative, let's assume the narrative is true, are you going to allow them to get away with this? In other words, you know, American people, I'm talking to you now. Are you telling me this is fake and that's why you're not paying any attention to it? Because if it's true, they're rubbing it in your face. They're rubbing it in your face and saying, we can do anything we want. You cross the line and we'll lock your ass up. We'll take your business away. We'll take everything you got. But we can do anything we want. And look, we're boasting about it. We're telling you about it. We're telling you we got these bribes. We're telling you we're huffing cocaine in the White House and laughing about it.
I think that's all just theater.
It's about rubbing it in people's
faces. I agree. Nobody's paying attention anymore. I think they lost the plot. They lost their audience. I think no one is paying attention. So
that's just, probably true.
Yeah.
That's probably nobody's paying attention.
Anyway, Lynn.
I wanted to make that point about this movie.
Yes.
Being such a big hit. And the fact that the only thing the critics can say about it is they're attacking the audience.
No, I like it. It's interesting. I didn't really, it wasn't on my radar. I guess No Agenda brought it up, and I'm glad you brought it to my attention, because I do like movies. I never go to the movies. I'll wait till it comes out, and I doubt I'll get this one.
The only reason I ever went to the movies was to watch the audience reaction. Like, I went to see JFK and Nixon, Oliver Stone's films, just to see the audience reaction, just to see how my fellow baby boomers were going to react.
Did you see Oliver Stone's latest, Nukes Now?
No.
Oh, he's shilling for the nuclear industry. It's really sad, actually.
Is he pro-nuclear?
He's pro-nuclear. He thinks that it's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Well, but I think RFK Jr. might be pro-nuclear, too.
I know. The only problem is it's fake. I mean, there is no such thing as nuclear power.
Right. But you think they're fooled. They believe it.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Well, I think they're promoting it as just part of a scam. It's just a massive scam. I'm not going to vary from that one at all. The only thing that makes it, otherwise, we would have the whole world on nuclear.
You're right.
But if it was real, if it was.
That was what they. I'm old enough to remember when they said it was going to solve all of our energy.
Right. Like,
we're
all
going to have free energy, endless free energy.
Exactly. It makes no sense.
Eisenhower called it Atoms for Peace. I remember that. They issued a postage stamp, Atoms for Peace.
Exactly.
And what happened? I guess we got scammed.
It's just been a scam, absolutely, the whole time. Otherwise, it would be going. I think the nuke plant in Toronto, they just extended its financial lifeline for another 5 years. So the scam, it's just too good of a scam.
Well, the scam is getting more intense because they're claiming there's another nuclear plant over there in Russian, that the Russians control over there in Ukraine. And they keep raising the prospect that thing could...
Their stories are just less and less believable, and I think fewer and fewer people listen to them.
Or even tuning in.
Yeah, I really don't think so. Well, Lynn, thanks for bringing these topics. You always have something to bring to the table, and I enjoy it. And you listen to the No Agenda Show, which I do as well every week. And I really am following a lot of their Adam Curry's podcasting 2.0. Podcast that he does with Dave Jones. It's quite interesting from a technical point of view.
Yeah, it's got some good pointers and tips.
Yeah, because I like the technical aspect. What can I tell you quickly, everyone here? I don't know if I made a post about it, but I think I will. If you go to Podverse.fm, that is a podcast player, as you can see here on my screen. And if you go set up your wallet, then you can set an amount of sats, which are 1/100 millionth of a Bitcoin. And you can have it send sats from your wallet to my wallet at a certain rate. So for instance, if you want to, as you listen to Fakeologist show or Fakeologist audio chat, if you want to send 10 cents a minute for every minute you listen to, you can set all that up. And Adam Curry is the main person behind it. And he's done a really, really good job. And this is just one of the many, many players that does that. You need to be a tiny bit technical to do it, but I really recommend people try it. It's a really good way to donate. I listen to the No Agenda show and podcasting 2.0 with Podverse. And when I do that, I'm sending these guys a few, maybe a buck an hour for all I listen to. So it's really an amazing thing to try out. So
I should say parenthetically, real quickly, Larry Fink of BlackRock.
Okay.
A couple years ago, he was calling Bitcoin a scam and saying it wouldn't last. But now BlackRock is actually buying into Bitcoin.
I know. They're starting another ETF, exchange-traded fund. Yeah.
You see what these guys do? They could flip-flop 180 degrees on a dime and never have to explain themselves.
No, well, because they know people don't remember.
Right. The United States of Amnesia, that's a big theme of mine. United States of Amnesia, where in order to be patriotic, you have to forget. You even have to forget what happened yesterday so we can reinvent reality tomorrow.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to update the Fakeologist donate page with this info. And if anyone's interested, I'll give them a heads up on how to set this up. I set it up myself. It does work. And we'll get it going. Well, Lynn, maybe we'll talk to you next week. We'll talk about 9/11 and whatever else comes on your mind.
Yeah, and see if you can get Uncle Vigilante back on there to talk about...
oh, we will.
Yeah, about the World Economic Forum's venture into the world of crypto. I think it's...
Maybe I'll bring him back. No, he's been busy. I've been busy. I'm on a summer schedule, so everyone please bear with me. I'm redoing the... doing some house renovations, so it's causing a hell of a lot of disruption here, and I had to move my studio and all kinds of things, so just bear with me, and we will be back on a little more frequently. But Lynn, thank you so much.
And a shout out to Tim Osman of Infinite Plane. We're always listening to that too.
Yes, he's been off too. So all right, well, take care, Lynn.
We'll
be in touch. All the best.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There goes Lynn. Thank you guys all for joining. And we will see you next show, whenever that is. Hopefully this week we'll get back to it. Take care. Good night.